This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. The arrest of multiple members of city council is impacting trust in Cincinnati's government. The events have led to a variety of proposals related to addressing and ideally preventing corruption. It is a strange position for the city of Cincinnati since its government set a standard for reforms a century ago with the founding of its charter committee and city manager style of government in response to the infamous Boss Cox era of corruption. We'll talk about some of the ways some local activists are hoping to bring about new reforms just ahead. But first, bring us up to speed on the current situation at City Hall and the proposals that are being rolled out by local politicians in response. We're joined by Cincinnati Edition assistant producer Nick Swartzel. Nick, thanks for being with us.
Hey, Michael.
So in the wake of the arrest of council members Tamiah Denard, Jeff Pastor, and P.G. Sittenfeld, we should note that Tamiah Denard pleaded guilty and has been sentenced, and that Pastor and Sittenfeld are fighting their charges, so they have been suspended from council and are currently replaced there. A lot of other members of council and the local government have come out with proposals to address these situations involving developers and bribery. And so we thought we'd talk a little bit about what those are. Nick, why don't you run through some of the proposals that have come through City Council so far?
Yeah, absolutely, Michael. So there are several, and they range from everything from amending the city's charter to putting together ethics panels or, appointing an ethics sort of watchdog. And, those go back to not long after Sittenfeld was arrested. And they include a proposal from council member Betsy Sunderman, who wants an amendment to the city's charter that would spell out specific penalties for corruption and suspend a council member if they're indicted on a crime related to city business. The amendment would also spell out a removal process for a council member convicted of a felony or a crime of moral turpitude, quotes there, involving city business. That member would then be banned from running for council again and have to pay restitution. So Councilmember Greg Landsman has also called for some other options, including the creation of a Cincinnati Ethics Commission. They would work with the Ohio Ethics Commission, which is already in existence. And the city would also hire a chief ethics officer in good government sort of chief under Landsman's proposal. He also wants some changes to campaign finance rules at the city level and a way for council to get somebody out of office if there are seven or more votes to do so. Moving on to some other proposals, Vice Mayor Christopher Smitherman, he's been pretty vocal about wanting a forensic audit of council votes leading up to the corruption allegations against Denard, Pastor, and Sittenfeld. He wants that audit to stretch back over the last 3 years to examine how council members voted on development deals and kind of like compare those to some of the campaign finance contributions they got.
We should note that council member David Mann, who is running for mayor, it was thought prior to the arrest of Councilman Sittenfeld that we were likely looking at a Mann versus Sittenfeld mayoral campaign next year. Obviously, with Sittenfeld's arrest, a lot more candidates have come out to run. So who knows what this fall's election will look like. But David Mann has come out with multiple bullet points on what he would like to see happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And Mann's proposal is interesting because he wants a sort of ethics panel. And that panel has actually been appointed by Mayor Cranley. And the council's Budget and Finance Committee yesterday voted 7-1 to approve that panel. So that's the kind of the meat of Mann's proposal. And what he wants that panel to do is investigate the way the city awards public development incentives like tax abatements, review best practices other cities employ. In that realm, consult campaign finance and municipal finance experts, devise ways for the city to track connections between campaign contributions and development contracts, and then a 24-month ban potentially on city contracts awarded to companies that have contributed to campaigns of city officials. There's some other things in there too, but those are kind of the big bullet points. And he wants this commission, this 9-member commission, to kind of like mull that over and make recommendations by August.
You noted that the issue of creating this committee was approved 7-1. It was Councilman Chris Silbach who voted against that. What was his reasoning?
First, a little detail point. The Budget and Finance Committee approved it. The full council has to approve that. And that may take place as soon as today. So if you're listening this evening, that might have already taken place. So check out our
Yeah, you can go to WVXU.org and find continuing coverage of City Hall.
Yeah, but Seelbach opposed it because on this panel, there are a few people who are allies of Mayor Cranley, his former chief of staff, the former Hamilton County Party chair, Hamilton County Democratic Party chair, Tim Burke, and a developer with Uptown Properties who donated a lot of money to the mayor's gubernatorial campaign. So those are some of the, from Seelbach and others, those are some of the resistance to this panel.
Meanwhile, Councilman Seelbach, who is also exploring a run for mayor, has come out with some recommendations.
Yeah. So as part of his kind of like mayoral platform, he's thrown out some accountability measures. He wants to amend the city charter so that an indicted council member can be suspended by a vote from 7 members of council. He wants a ban on council members lobbying the city administration on behalf of clients, and a ban on the city doing business with family members of elected officials. Seelbach's also done some kind of campaign finance reform legislation in the past. In 2018, he pushed the charter amendment that banned political contributions from multiple limited liability corporations controlled by the same person, if you remember that legislation.
Nick Swartzel is the assistant producer here at Cincinnati Edition at WVXU. Nick, thanks for the time.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Meanwhile, Cincinnati's Charter Committee has ideas for structural change at City Hall, and Action Tank, a local organization, is working to increase civic literacy and engagement. Joining Cincinnati Edition now, our Charter Committee President, Matt Woods. Matt, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Michael. I really appreciate being on.
And Action Tank co-founder and executive director, Ioana Periskavopoulos. Ioana, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
And if you're listening and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 513-419-7100, or email talk at wvxu.org. We'll also look for your comments and your tweets at Facebook and Twitter. Matt, let's start with you, because Charter Committee is a very local and unique title, and I'm not sure that all of us even fully understand it. I know we have conversations occasionally in the newsroom about how to refer properly to the Charter Committee. Would you mind just giving us a brief history lesson on how the Charter Committee came about and its relationship to combating corruption at Cincinnati City Hall about 100 years ago?
Sure. I appreciate that. We are officially charterites, but, the beauty of charter and a big reason why I joined is just it's almost like an independent party that is fully focused on the city of Cincinnati. And, a little more than 100 years ago, the city was run by an appropriate name, Boss Cox, and the corruption was rampant. Everybody knows about the defunct subway system, and that is a symptom of a much bigger issue that happened in the 20s and 30s. And so, through Murray Season, a lot of people have heard of Murray Seasongood, Charlie Taft, the Charter Committee really rose as a group of, in a sense, renegades to the current party construct. And really our mission was to create a professionally managed city and get the development, get the special interests, get the true corruption out of the intertwinings of the elected officials and turn the management of the city to more of a CEO system, which is how we have our city manager today.
I understand that when Councilman Sittenfeld was arrested, the Charter Committee called an emergency meeting. Can you talk about why?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, just having two council members fall this year, is more than what we could handle anyways. And when PG fell, it was more of a, all right, what is going on? Is this systemic? Is this do we have a bad system where good people are falling, or do we just have bad people running and looking for self-serving government? And to us, when we called the emergency, our determination was we can come up with 1,000 charter amendments, but if we can't find good people that can work well ethically, even behind the scenes, then our city's in trouble. And so from that emergency meeting, charter has been building a party platform that, it's our goal. Again, there isn't a Republican or Democratic way of filling a pothole. It's really, how do we get better public servants into our city and start going back to the original charter, which is, let our city be professionally managed, and which has actually been copied in many other cities around America. There's a great book called The Cincinnati Experiment. And, it's really, we had the foundation for an incredible, well-managed government. And, to see where we're at today is very troubling, especially as the leader of the Charter Committee.
From your viewpoint, Matt, how do you think the city and its government and its management of its government has drifted from those early days of, say, Murray Season Good and the original foundation of the Charter Committee?
Well, I mean, even looking back into the 90s, I mean, things were going well. And I really feel like some of the slippery slope started to happen. We went to a stronger mayor system. And from there, we've had good mayors that didn't abuse it, but we're getting to a point where it's kind of a top-down look is, you know, how is the system working? And it's very much a pay-to-play. If you want to get on the council's agenda, you have to, in a sense, kiss the ring of the mayor just to make it to council. And where we're seeing things is that we are very much seeing a funnel. You know, the Charter Review Task Force back in 2015 was looking at how the mayor's role should be in our current government construct. And what's happening is we have overlappings of roles. We have confusion as to who does what. And then we have a system where lots and lots of money is funneling into politicians' coffers. And there's usually a direct relationship that has something to do with city contracts.
That's Matt Woods. He's Charter Committee President. We're also joined by Ioana Periscavopoulos. She's Executive Director of Action Tank. Ioana, your organization is focused on bringing more people into the conversation about government and making them more civically literate and engaged. Is that effort challenged when we read headlines like we've been reading out of Cincinnati City Hall?
It's really motivated by the headlines coming out of City Hall. And the more we see those headlines, the more interest we find that people have in Action Tank and learning how to engage with local government as advocates, as watchdogs, and also as people who are thinking for the first time, maybe I want to run for office myself.
And so how are you going about doing what you set out to do?
Sure. So our mission is that we are a think tank that partners with artists to research and promote new public policy solutions at the local government level. We're based in Cincinnati. Our biggest program is called City Council School. So it's training for engaged residents who want to run for office here in Cincinnati or who want to learn more about City Hall to be better advocates. Our training and our organization are nonpartisan. They're not about politics. They're teaching people how to navigate the bureaucracy at City Hall, how to take a good idea and turn it into a legislative proposal that could actually be passed, how to gain support with the public and with other elected officials.
So what about the issue of transparency? I understand that you believe that there needs to be an increase in transparency, an increase in accountability, particularly as it relates around campaign contributions and developments?
Sure. I mean, if I had my way, my recommendation would be that every relevant campaign contribution from a developer would be listed on the transmittal page for every development deal ordinance that goes before council. And, you know, the other part of what we do in terms of boosting transparency is training people how to read those transmittal pages, right? I mean, you can have all the information in the world on the city's website. But if people don't know how to find it, then it's pointless.
We're talking with Ioana Periscavopoulos, the executive director at Action Tank, and also Charter Committee President Matt Woods. We'll take your phone calls at 513-419-7100. We'll continue our conversation with those two just ahead. And later, the role of neighborhood civic organizations in the city's government and how much power and influence they can wield. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition on demand. Did you know you can have the show delivered straight to your smartphone every day? Just go to your favorite podcast listening app, search Cincinnati Edition, and subscribe. You'll be able to keep up with all our great conversations with newsmakers, public officials, and other interesting people from the greater Cincinnati region and beyond on the go, anytime, anywhere. It's great for those days you can't tune in to catch us live. Weekdays at noon on 91.7 WVXU. And this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. We continue now with Charter Committee President Matt Woods and Action Tank co-founder and executive director Ioana Periscavopoulos. 513-419-7100 is the number to call to join our conversation. We'll take a quick phone call now. Lauren is on the line. Hi, Lauren. What's your question or comment?
Hi. I just wanted to ask Ioana, we saw a lot of people get really interested in local politics in 2020 because of national issues such as defund the police and local issues such as the FBI. How can you help rebuild the public's trust and start a better communication between the public and City Hall?
Lauren, thank you for the call. We'll hang up and we'll let Ioana take a chance on that question. Lauren, Ioana, please go ahead.
Thank you, Lauren. So a lot of what we do is training people in how to approach City Hall and engage with City Hall. But what we would also love to see and what we also promote and explore are creative ways for City Hall to go out and meet the community where they are. So we look into creative community engagement strategies, different ways of using art and public conversations to get new people engaged. Who otherwise wouldn't be, but also to encourage creative perspectives from people who might already be engaged and just kind of stuck in a rut about how they think about things.
Matt Woods is president of the Charter Committee. Matt, let's turn back to you now. I think you mentioned that you first started to see a slippery slope begin in the 90s when the city started to transition to a stronger mayor form of government. Is that a situation where you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube, or would you like to see the city explore its opportunities with reverting back to the nine-member council where the top vote-getter would serve as mayor?
Yeah, we're not quite at that point where we think that it has to be a complete walk back. You know, I feel like the main intention of the mayor, the stronger mayor, was to get things done, to have a directly elected, you know, a directly elected mayor, which, yeah, again, puts the trust in the public and, you know, choosing the right person. The issue is that that the role that they have is kind of quasi-executive, quasi-legislative, but our current mayor has interjected into the professional management of the city as well. So you kind of have a hybrid mayor that's in all three facets of our city. And, you know, will the next mayor do the same thing? It's to be determined. But where we're having troubles is what is the role of the mayor? And then you're seeing the way that he interacts with developers, special interests, and other people. And I believe it's a trickle-down approach. You know, everybody else through the whole construct of our government is seeing how the top is doing it. So why shouldn't I? And to us, it's leading to this culture of pay-to-play.
Well, when you talk about pay-to-play, you're referencing the allegations of bribery related to developments and the arrest of a couple of councilmen recently. And do you believe that the process for incentivizing development in the city is created in a way or designed in a way to be secretive and thus lead to situations like we're dealing with now?
Well, and again, it really doesn't need to be secretive. I mean, council has the executive session power to call in, which they have never used. It can be public. It can be a process where they vet it early. But, you know, the current construct is abatements have to go through the mayor just to make it to council's agenda. I mean, prime example, we have a hardware store, and I had to sit before the mayor and his chief of staff just to make it. And because I've been a political challenger to the mayor at times, it got thrown onto the last committee, into the neighborhoods committee, went through the ringer just to get that abatement. And to me, that's wrong. You know, it's a kiss the ring system that should allow abatements just to make it to council if it's worthy of the city manager's approval.
So how will the Charter Committee go about implementing this proposal? I mean, you've got a platform. Do you have candidates?
Yeah, we're getting ready to launch our issues of endorsements committee next week. We have Jim Tarbell, who's a longtime Charterite, Bill Frost. You know, I know Kevin Flynn isn't a Charterite, but he used to be, and he's an independent running. So, I mean, we're going to be opening it up to any candidate that really is seeking an independent look at our city, but that is willing to adopt our platform. And really, our platform is not a you know, a toe-the-line party construct. I mean, it's really sensible, you know, how do we return to a better functioning government? How do we reform the process? And then how do we just renew community engagement? I think there's too much emergency ordinance, too much father knows best type of system. And we need to get to an approach where the community councils are empowered, that the neighborhoods really have engagement with the city again, and we stop this cutting short the proper process for government to function.
And we'll
and again, going to Ioana's point, greater transparency is so key.
We'll be talking with some representatives of neighborhood groups in our next segment just ahead. Matt, another issue that the Charter Committee is focused on is more regional cooperation. And so, you know, you focus primarily on the city of Cincinnati, but are you suggesting that there are opportunities outside of the city limits for the city to collaborate in an effort to reduce government inefficiencies?
Absolutely. You know, a great former city manager, Jerry Newfarmer, you know, put together a great proposal just talking about shared services. I mean, there are so many municipalities that have a construct that just overlaps with a lot of what the city does and the county does. And so just looking at shared efficiencies, I mean, you look at MSD, you look at 911, even the city solicitor's office, there's been discussions of inefficiencies there. And so, I mean, again, it's looking at anything and everything, you know, cutting out the special interest and just looking to see what is in the best interest of the city, county, and other municipalities.
That's Matt Woods. He's president of the Charter Committee here in Cincinnati. We're also joined via Zoom by Action Tank co-founder and executive director, Ioana Periscavopoulos. And Ioana, I understand that Action Tank is working with Co-op Cincy, some other partners, to raise some money for what you're calling PB, short for Pilot Participatory Budget Process. Would you explain that to us?
Sure. Participatory budgeting has been around for a long time. It's been tried in Cincinnati. I think it was maybe 20 years ago. But we would like to renew the effort, do a pilot participatory budgeting process this year, starting in the fall and looping around to the beginning of next year. So the idea is that you've set aside a pot of money and then you do some very deep community engagement where you let residents decide how that money will be spent. And at the end of the process, when they vote and decide, then the city council has to approve an ordinance allocating funds to exactly what residents decided that it should be spent for. And we think it's a great idea because it's a, you know, it's a great way to directly empower residents, but it's also a great way to help those residents become more familiar with the city budget process. So if in the future, when they have specific issues that they want to advocate for or objections to how money might be spent, they know intuitively then how to engage to make a difference.
So how much money are we talking about?
Well, the recommended pot of money is $1 million for every 100,000 residents. We do not expect that that amount of money would be set aside in the first year. But if anyone wants to fund the process, we'd be happy to talk to you.
So you're basically thinking it would be ideal if you had your way. It would be about $3 million for a city like Cincinnati.
Yeah.
513-419-7100 is the number. I've got time for another call here. Katie's on the line. Hi, Katie. What's your question or comment?
Hi. This question is for Ioana. I'd just like to know what tools exist for regular neighborhood residents to hold developers and city council accountable when it comes to issues of development. It seems like so many deals come to community councils with the expectation of rubber stamp approval, and it's kind of hard to think of yourself as having a ton of power if you're only one person.
Katie, thanks for the call. We'll let Ioana answer that question. Ioana.
Yeah, it is hard to imagine how one person can have power. Something that Action Tank has worked on is a community benefits agreement toolkit for residents. A lot of Cincinnatians are probably familiar with the term CBA or community benefits agreement now because of the FC Cincinnati Stadium negotiation process. What we did was partnered with the national think tank Policy Link to distill best practices for CBAs. And we partnered with the local artist, Courtney Cooper, and Wave Pool Gallery, which is in Camp Washington, to create a fun to look at, fun to use, a very user-friendly guide for community councils who are in the process of talking to developers and would like to negotiate some benefits for their neighborhood in exchange for the neighborhood's support for the project. When this comes into play is in usually bigger, more transformational projects, like, for example, the Liberty and Elm project, which is going before council this afternoon, or something like the FC Cincinnati Stadium, where there are substantial tax incentives on the table. And taxpayers say, you know what, if you're gonna help fund this private for-profit project with public money, then communities and neighborhoods should receive some benefits in exchange.
And Matt, let's finish up with you, because we do have a city council election this year, and we've seen the makeup of city council currently change pretty drastically, I think, before anybody expected it to. We saw the departure of Amy Murray before her term expired. We've seen the arrests of three members of council, and they've all been replaced, at least temporarily. What does this year offer in terms of opportunity for the proverbial fresh start, since there are so many newer faces already, and then there are term-limited members who cannot run for a seat on council again? Is this year particularly significant, not only because of the allegations against some members of council, but because of the way the council could be made up with so many different faces next time around?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that gets me the most excited is just the amount of people who are interested in running for council. I mean, you know, it was the, you know, incumbents seize the day usually, but now we have so many people that are just grassroots, west side, east side, urban core, you name it. And to me, regardless of whether they win or not, it's just seeing that type of activism is exciting. But I think the community councils are going to see much more activity from all these different candidates. I mean, that's what I think the city needs. So from our perspective, it's kind of like we're getting a restart. You know, maybe this is what it looked like in the 1930s when things shifted from the power construct. But from my perspective, you know, even if we had 50 candidates running, that means there's a lot of people that are looking at all areas of our city. And I think it's going to result in a really great construct here in November.
Matt Woods is Charter Committee President, and Ioana Periscavopoulos is Executive Director and Co-Founder of Action Tank. Matt, Ioana, thank you so much for the time you gave us.
Thanks, Michael. Really appreciate being on.
Thank you so much for having us.
And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Our assistant producer is Nick Swartzel. Our technical director is Josh Elstrow. Our theme music is composed by Rob Fetters. You can find archives of our program online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks. We'll talk again tomorrow.